I wonder, what has been the most significant public statement made by some public figure in your lifetime? I'll repeat that. It's a tricky question. What has been the most significant public statement made by someone in your lifetime? There's no money left. Well, of course, our eldest generation might remember Churchill committing this country to war. Or more recently, I think of George W. Bush declaring the start of the war on terror. Look where that has led. Or maybe it was John F. Kennedy's challenge to put a man on the moon, from which so much new technology has come and has made possible. Well, tell me afterwards what you were thinking. But each of these, those were short but surprising statements when first heard. And I wonder, were you surprised when you heard the gospel reading? As Gavin said, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, these are very familiar words, aren't they? So you probably weren't surprised. But actually, to their first hearers, I think these words were dynamite for two different reasons. Well, a few years ago, a German scholar was doing research in New Testament literature and discovered that in the entire history of Judaism, there is not a single reference of a Jewish person addressing God directly in the first person as Father. There were appropriate forms of address that were used by Jewish people in the Old Testament, and children were trained to address God using proper phrases of respect. But the term Father was not among them. Who was the first Jewish rabbi to call God Father then? Jesus of Nazareth. When he said that, it was a radical departure from tradition. And in fact, we know this was no accident. Every recorded prayer we have from the lips of Jesus, bar one, he calls God Father. It was for this reason, amongst others, that many enemies of Jesus sought to quiet him or destroy him. Because here he was assuming to have this intimate, personal relationship with the sovereign God of heaven and the creator of all things, to be intimate with him. And then it got worse. Even more radically, Jesus says to his people, when you pray, you say, Our Father, as Christians have through the ages. So here's the first upset. God has given us the right and the privilege to come into his majestic and divine presence and address him as Father. In Romans chapter 8, actually, it is taken still further, where we are told that God, the Father, has adopted us into his family and made us co-heirs with his only begotten Son, Jesus. Not only can we call him Father, but we are his heirs together. The second surprise comes from the disciples and how they react. So it says, the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain. When they saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. They were doing what Jesus commanded, going and waiting. And then he appears. Some worship him, but some doubt. Now, this isn't the kind of doubt about who he was, but the sense is actually of a hesitation. And quite rightly so, because no God-fearing Jew would ever think of worshipping an idol, let alone a living person. The first commandment and the second couldn't be clearer about this. And yet they worship. Matthew, our gospel writer, wants us to see that in Jesus, the promise of the very first chapter has been fulfilled. In chapter 1, Jesus is named Emmanuel, the one in whom God is with us. And now he declares, right at the end of his book, that he is with us always. The only appropriate reaction to this is indeed worship. Worship of the one true God who is, astonishingly now, revealed in and as Jesus himself. So here's the second upset. These Jews are now worshipping Jesus as God himself. And he accepts it. Well, these two are tectonic shifts in the understanding of who God is. And it's not just for them. Jesus says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Therefore, we know that this isn't an understanding that comes naturally. We have to be taught it. The simple monotheism of Judaism is now revealed to be more subtle, more complicated. We now have the Christian Trinity of one God in three persons. This Trinity is revealed to be a more wonderful union, the eternal cooperation and love between the members of the Trinity. For me, this Trinity means that when we say God is love, it isn't just a hollow platitude. It's a statement of reality. Because they have loved each other from everlasting to everlasting. God is indeed love. And each follower of Jesus from every land and from every age has had these same words said over them. I baptize you in the name of God the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's recently become my privilege to be able to say that and to take my first baptisms. And I am supremely conscious of those words that have echoed down the ages, unchanged, said in every land. A sign of our adoption as children of the same Heavenly Father, being incorporated by the power of the Holy Spirit into his eternal life. I don't know if you've had a chance to meet our current bishop, but she has a lovely way of calling us back to our baptisms. She talks of trailing our wet baptismal footprints, wherever we go. The promises that we made, or were made for us, that we've confirmed, call us to witness to this loving, living life of God. This is a love that reaches out with the open palms of gift and mercy to a world that is far more used to the grabbing hands of possession or the closed fists of violence. This is the love that protects the widow, the orphan, and the exile. This love is prepared to suffer all things for the sake of winning others to God's kingdom. Where do your baptismal footprints take you? Well, of course, this is a hard calling. Which of us can live selflessly like this? Well, thankfully, it is the grace of God that wants us to cultivate love and gives us the help that we need. The Holy Spirit is our invisible helper, guide and advocate. Sadly, often neglected by the church, he is just as important as the other two members of the Trinity. And we honour him today. Let's pray. Loving Father God, we thank you for bringing us into your family. By your Holy Spirit, help us trail our wet baptismal footprints with us wherever we go, and help point people to you. Amen.